Carved in stone on a plinth, the legend 20th Century Fox. Searchlights stretch into the deep blue sky around it. A horizontal, thin red line travels down a black screen. From behind it, the word Largo gradually appears in white letters. Below the line, the word Entertainment, in association with JVC Entertainment Incorporated. Soft golden sunlight reflects off the sea as waves crash against a sandy shore. Largo Entertainment presents a Levi Abrahams Gurin production, a Catherine Bigelow film, Point Break, starring Patrick Swayze and Keanu Reeves. The film title enlarges, filling the screen. A surfer, his long hair bleached blonde, rides out to sea on a surfboard lying on his stomach. Frothy white water splashes up in his wake. Silhouetted against the morning sky, another surfer stands on his board riding the crest of a wave. In pouring rain, a dark-haired, handsome young man sits on the bonnet of a car. He puts a stick of chewing gum in his mouth and drops the paper. A shotgun in his lap, he looks round at a man in uniform who stretches out his arm and points, blowing on a whistle. Soaking wet, the young man climbs off the car bonnet. With one hand, he readies the pump-action shotgun. He fires at cardboard cut-out targets of human beings armed with guns. Meanwhile, in the gentle light of the early morning sun, a surfer crests another rolling wave. The young dark-haired man rolls commando style across the ground, taking cover behind a freestanding brick wall before firing again. The surfer twists in the air, creating a spray of clear water. Now using a pistol, the dark-haired young man continues to fire through the torrential rain at the moving targets. The man in uniform with the whistle halts a stopwatch. On the front and sleeves of his blue anorak in big yellow letters, FBI. Smiling, he writes something on a clipboard. As the dark-haired young man turns to face him, the guy in the FBI anorak lifts a clenched fist in celebration.
100%, Utah! Good job!
John Utah, the dark-haired young man, gives a thumbs up. The surfer heads to shore, water swirling beneath his board. A plane comes into land at an airport. Smartly dressed in a grey suit, his black hair neatly combed back, John strides into an FBI office and flashes his ID at the woman behind reception.
Hi, John in Utah?
She picks up the phone.
Your 9 o'clock appointment is here.
She gives John a visitor's badge and points him towards a door. He fixes the badge to his suit and she buzzes him through two security doors. A man in a room full of monitors beyond glass-paned doors points John on down a corridor. A thin-faced man calls out to him.
Special Agent John Utah, day number one in L.A. Welcome aboard. You're going over your personnel record. Very impressive.
Thank you.
You may very well have been in the top 2% of your class at Quantico, but quite frankly, son, out here you have exactly 0 hours of experience in the field. You know nothing. In fact, you know less than nothing. If you even knew that you knew nothing, that'd be something, but you don't.
Yes, sir.
You need a solid breakfast, Utah?
Sir?
All the food groups, avoiding caffeine, sugar. I like to make sure that all my people maintain sound cardiovascular fitness. We don't drink and we sure as hell don't smoke.
Sir, I take the skin off chicken.
Good man.
An open plan office.
Now, this is us. All right. I got it. Bank robbery. And you are now in the bank robbery capital of the world.
1,322 last year in L.A. County, up 26% from the year before.
That's correct. And we nailed over 1,000 of them. Miss Deer, take a look at that for me. Thank you. Do you know how we nail the bad guys, Utah? Do you know how we nail them? By crunching data. Good crime scene work, good lab work, and most importantly, good database analysis. Special Agent Utah, are you receiving my signal?
John grabs a donut.
Zero distortion, sir. I love these things.
He bites into it.
Now you're a real blue flame special, aren't you, son? Young, dumb, and full of cum. I know. What I don't know is how you got yourself assigned out here to Los Angeles with us. I mean, hell, I guess we just must have ourselves an asshole shortage, huh?
Agent Ben Harp, the thin-faced guy, strides off.
Not so far.
John takes another bite of the donut. In a swimming pool, blindfolded FBI agents are diving underwater to retrieve bricks.
Okay, Pappas.
Yeah.
Here, put on the blindfold. I want to see you retrieve at least two bricks off the bottom. One. Two.
John is shown in. Middle-aged Pappas blindfolds himself.
I've been in the field for 22 years. I fired my piece over 19 times in the line of duty. I got no idea what a blind man fetching bricks from the bottom of the pool has got to do with being a special agent.
John's there.
Added to which indignity, I have been saddled with some blue flamer Quantico cat. Some quarterback punk. Johnny Unitas or something.
The shit they pull, huh?
Yeah.
Hey, Angie.
What?
Here's your guy.
What?
Pappas lifts his blindfold and sees John, who waves sarcastically at him.
Pappas. Angelo Pappas.
Punk. Quarterback punk.
Welcome to SeaWorld, kid.
Good luck, Pappas.
Two bricks coming up.
Pappas replaces his blindfold and bombs in. In a car, guns are loaded, clothing is pulled on, and rubber character masks of American presidents are donned, along with clean white gloves. The driver looks at his watch. It's 10 to 12.
Little hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Everybody freeze!
Everybody move! Keep your hands up and your eyes down!
I'll tell her! Back away from the car! Hands on your head! Now!
Have another gun!
I said back away! Everybody up behind your desk on the floor! Move it, move it! Now, get down!
What's the matter with you people?
You, out of the cubicle!
Get out of my way!
Hey, you got your wax?
Back away, keep your hands where I can see them!
Now!
Hands up!
Hello, 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 ladies and gentlemen. We are the ex-presidents, and we need just a few moments of your time. We've been screwing you for years, so a few more seconds shouldn't matter, now should it? On the floor, asshole. Your money's insured, so it's not worth dying for.
In a bank, they start to steal cash.
How you doing, Dick?
Just implementing our own personal plan of deregulation, Mr. President.
Nixon bundles cash into a bag as Reagan stands on a counter, gun at the ready.
Time, Mr. Carter!
60!
LBJ!
We're styling.
Nixon throws cash in the air.
Oh, Ron! I got Nancy on the line!
It's shot to pieces.
80. Air Force One is waiting, Mr. President!
Let's go, let's go, let's go! Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, and please, don't forget to vote!
I'm not a crook!
Nixon flashes his bum, on which is written thank you. Then the four robbers flee. Later, John with Pappas watches security footage of the robbery.
27 banks in 3 years. In and out in 90 seconds. No one ever gets shot. Now what are we talking about here? We're talking about solid professionals.
Good moves.
Yeah. They control the room well. And they stick strictly to the cash drawers.
They don't go for the vault?
No, they never go for the vault. They never get greedy.
Smart. You burn time in the vault.
Yep, that's right. Reagan usually does the driving. Stolen switch car, they leave it running. On the curb, it looks parked from a distance. When they run, they dump the vehicle and they vanish. Like a virgin on prom night. I mean, they vanish.
John studies the security footage again.
Surgical. Look at them separate the die pack. Dick and Ronnie know their jobs.
Yeah, the ex-presidents are the best I've ever seen. Ever.
Two agents swagger in.
Anytime you two are finished jerking off watching MTV, we need to get a look at these tapes.
Hey, Pappas, you, tell the kid your theory on the presidents?
Just take the tapes and go, Babbitt.
Hang ten, Pappas, like totally right, dude.
I tell you, the department loves it.
What's he talking about, Angelo?
Found the drop car up on Mulholland Drive. Like
we'll
you
go
volunteer.
Harp looks at John.
Oh, no.
Angelo.
Pappas looks annoyed.
Come on.
Thank you. We'll go work it.
Good.
Excuse me.
Pappas and John walk away.
I'm working a fucking drop car. Get a drop card.
Pappas, what a hard on.
Darkness has fallen. John's inside the drop car, shining a torch on the dashboard. He turns to an agent behind him.
This car doesn't have AC. It was a scorcher.
Sweat secretions in the seat backs.
Pappas leans in.
Are you through, Mr. Wizard? Let me know if you find Jimmy Hoffa under the seat while you're at it.
John climbs out of the car. Pappas eyes his watch.
Oh, look at this. It's 7:30. Why, the night is still so young. The way you're going, you're going to be able to solve this case and start another one, huh? Drop car my ass.
Pappas turns and walks off. John goes after him.
You've been working bank robbery, what, 22 years?
Yeah, 22 years. Man, L.A. has changed a lot during that time. The air got dirty and the sex got clean.
Uh-huh. So a guy with that kind of timing must have some theory about these guys.
Leave it alone, Johnny.
Okay, fine. You've given up. Fine. It doesn't mean I have to.
Hey, listen. Forget about it, kid. They are ghosts.
Yeah, of course. What am I thinking? If you couldn't crack it with all your years of experience, it's impossible to conceive that I might have something to offer, right? Well, maybe I can do better than some over-the-hill burnout.
Hey, watch your mouth.
Maybe you ought to just take some early retirement right now and get some rent-a-cop night security job. Tell Nom stories.
Listen, you snot-nosed little shit! I was taking shrapnel and caisson while you were crapping in your hands and rubbing it on your face!
You mad?
Yeah, I'm mad!
Good and mad!
Yeah!
What do you want to do about it?
It feels good, doesn't it? Like you're still alive, right?
Yeah!
Well, since you're still alive and you're not in the box just yet, why don't you tell me this theory of yours and we'll go get these guys?
Pappas exhales wearily.
Okay, hot shot. You want to nail the bank robbers and be a big hero?
Definitely.
Definitely. Then here it is. The ex-presidents are surfers.
Surfers?
Surfers.
Later.
It's in our face. Look at the tan line on this guy.
Oh, well, he must be a surfer.
Well, yeah. So last year, Nixon scuffs the counter when he's going over. So there is a soil sample. Non-specific mud. Traces of asphalt. Traces of oil. Traces of sand. Carnauba wax. So I become a wax expert. Now, there's 80-some uses for this stuff. Something like 500 products.
Candle wax, car wax, mustache wax. Could be anything. Guy's waxing his mustache at the beach. Gets sand in it. Takes it off with a shoe. Shoe scuffs the counter.
Oh, would you just shut up a minute? Just listen to me. Maybe you'll learn something. The lab gave us 3 possible matches. This is one of them.
A tin.
Sex wax.
Yeah.
You're not into kinky shit, are you, Angelo?
Not yet. Surfers use this. They rub it on their boards for traction.
Thanks for the tip.
You're welcome for the tip. Well, here's another tip. Check out the dates on these robberies. It's strictly a summer job for these idiots.
John looks.
4 months. June to October.
He flicks through the file.
Same the year before.
That's right. We have 1 more month. We won't see him till next summer.
They're traveling on the money, going where the waves are.
That's right.
Papa sleeps onto a desk.
The ex-presidents rip off banks to finance their endless summer.
Hey, man, a lot of guys your age are learning to surf. It's cool. There's nothing wrong with it.
I'm 25.
That's what I'm saying. It's never too late.
John shoots the boy a look.
Hope you stick with it. Surfing's the source. It'll change your life. Swear to God.
John goes carrying a surfboard with Pappas.
Why can't I just walk around with this thing under my arm and act stone, ask a few questions?
Well, look.
They're on a pier. Pappas points at some surfers.
Look at them. They're like some kind of tribe. They got their own language. You can't just walk up to those guys. You have to get out there and learn the moves, get into their head, pick up the speech.
You're trying to tell me the FBI is going to pay me to learn to surf?
It's either you or me out there on the board. You get my drift?
Angelo, this is for little rubber people who don't shave yet.
Come on. You're the quarterback, Jock. It's all balance, right? And coordination. How hard can it be?
Later, wearing a wetsuit, John attempts to ride a wave on his board. He tumbles off, swallowed by a mass of white foam. Under the water, John kicks his legs. Above him, his surfboard is battered by the frothing waves. Tiny bubbles surround John as he clumsily pushes himself up towards the surface. As he emerges, another huge wave rolls towards him and he is forced back under the water. Legs kicking hopelessly, he struggles to stay near the surface as clouds of water churn above him. A slim woman in a wetsuit with short dark hair dives down towards him. A cord around her ankle is attached to her surfboard. She pulls him up to the surface and heaves him onto her board.
Hold on!
She puts an arm around him and paddles towards the shore.
Hold on! Use your arm! Help!
A wave splashes over them. They reach the shore and now off the board, John kneels hunched over in the shallows.
It's alright, come on. You're okay.
She drags him onto the beach, her surfboard tucked under her arm. John collapses on the sand, coughing violently.
You crazy son of a bitch! You want to commit suicide, you do it someplace else!
She picks up his board, which drifts to shore.
This pig boy piece of shit! You got no business out here whatsoever!
She heads back into the water, stretched out on her stomach on her board.
Hey! My name's Johnny Utah!
Who cares?
She paddles out to sea, leaving a bedraggled John staring after her. He watches as she expertly rides a wave. The sun behind her, she glides through the water as the wave carries her forward on a rush of white foam. Later, John watches through binoculars as his rescuer changes out of a bikini into her dry clothes. She pulls a long-sleeve crop top over her bikini top, which she then removes. A towel wrapped around her waist, she then takes off her bikini bottoms and grabs a pair of denim shorts from her convertible sports car. She pulls them on over her slender hips under the towel, then, without doing them up, chucks the towel onto the back seat before leaping into the open-top car and pulling away. Lifting the binoculars to his eyes, John checks out her number plate as she drives off. Later, he's back at HQ with Miss Deer as she enters the information into a computer. The name Tyler Ann Endcott appears. Pappas joins them.
That is your surfing contact? Female. Blue eyes. Black hair. 5'6", 119 pounds. God, Utah.
Not bad, Utah.
Tyler Ann Endcott. Born 11/27/64.
A list of minor misdemeanors appears.
Exhibition of speed. Indecent exposure inside moving vehicle.
Hot. Very hot.
What else they got on her? I still haven't found anything I can really use. I gotta find an approach, a way in. Here we go. Both parents deceased. Airplane crash. San Diego, 84. Yeah. Definitely.
In his battered white car, John speeds off a highway and parks hurriedly outside a roadside diner, kicking up dust in his wake. He walks round the shabby building to the seafront side and goes in, passing a customer on his way out.
See you later, man.
John's dark-haired rescuer is behind the counter.
Next.
She looks up and eyes John coolly.
What do you want?
Shrimp and fries.
I mean, what do you want? Why do you keep hanging around here?
I need you to teach me.
Give me a break. Shrimp and fries to go.
She writes his order down.
Do you like something to drink with that, sir?
I'm serious.
I can see that you're serious. Forget it. Stick to tennis. I don't know, whatever you do good. Miniature golf. Number's 37.
You don't understand. I'm gonna learn to surf or break my neck.
She smiles at him.
What is it? You all of a sudden got this bug that you just have to go surfing?
She meets his gaze.
This is a line, right?
No. No. See...
He shifts awkwardly.
My whole life I've done things for other people. In high school I played football because my old man expected me to. Mm-hmm. And my parents always figured I'd go to law school. So I did. Football scholarship. Phi Beta Kappa.
Is this gonna take a really long time?
Wait. So I'm a big hero to my folks, right? But 2 years ago, they were killed in the car wreck. You can't imagine it. Your whole life changes. And I suddenly realized that all my goals had been their goals, and I hadn't been living my own life. So I wanted something for myself.
She looks thoughtful.
So I come out here from Ohio a month ago. I've never seen the ocean before, any ocean. I never thought it would affect me so much. I'm drawn to it. Something. I want to do what you do. It's the truth.
She smiles broadly, then puffs out her cheeks.
All right. Okay. Tomorrow, here, 6 a.m. If you are 1 minute late, I'm gone. And Stud, I didn't take you on to raise, so I'll teach you a few things, and then after that, you're going to be on your own, okay?
He nods.
God.
Morning, John and Tyler walk along the beach.
Stop here.
They dump their stuff.
You agree to do exactly what I say when I say it?
Sure.
He poses on the board.
Pop! Pop! If you stand straight up, you're just gonna fall right over. So let's try it again.
She waves a hand dismissively.
Start over. Just do it again.
Hey! What you doing? Huh?
Just do it again. Pop up. You gotta stay low. You're gonna bite it. You dragged a knee that time. It'll just wipe out. You're dragging your foot. You're gonna be fish food. Both feet have to land on the board at the same time. That's it. That's it. You're surfing.
Out on the water, John falls from his board. Trailing, Tyler laughs. Lying down, John rolls his board. A wave surges over him. Later, he and Tyler paddle out to sea on their boards, lying on their stomachs. Surfing back in, John manages to stand on his board. Tyler surfs beside him. John wipes out with a laugh. Tyler dives into the water after him. Later, they walk towards the beach, carrying their boards.
Doing all right, city boy.
Back in the water, sitting astride their boards, Tyler gestures to John, then holding her nose, falls deliberately into the water. Sitting once again on their surfboards, they playfully splash water at each other. A gentle wave lifts them slightly, then lets them down again. Lying on her board, Tyler watches as John rides a wave, standing a little unsteadily on his. Nearing the shore, he slips off the board. Sitting astride hers, Tyler lifts her arms, flexing her biceps. Boards tucked under their arms, they walk out of the sea onto the beach. John stares beyond Tyler at a lone surfer elegantly riding a big wave. Tyler follows John's gaze, then turns to look at him.
That's Bodhi. They call him the Bodhisattva.
Brow-knitted, John gazes back over at Bodhi and watches as he surfs in the curve of a wave. The blonde-haired man in his 30s with a slim muscular body under his wetsuit leans back, his body low. As the wave curls over him, he travels with it, never letting it reach him. He rides an even bigger wave, upright at first, then ducking down as the foam washes over him.
He's a modern savage. He's a real searcher.
What's he searching for?
The ride. The ultimate ride.
She glances down, then looks back up at John.
Guy's even crazier than you, Johnny.
With a quizzical look, John gazes past Tyler at Bodhi. On the beach, some guys are playing American football.
Hey!
One of the guys chucks the ball at Bodhi.
Heads up!
The long-haired surfer tosses it back as he strolls onto the beach. Board under his arm, he trots up behind Tyler, lifting a finger to his lips to shush John.
Hey!
He lifts Tyler up.
Put me down. We know each other.
John looks awkward.
That's a surfboard, all right. Looks like a 57 Chevy I used to have.
John looks at his board.
Tyler, come here.
Bodhi takes Tyler to one side. She gestures 1 minute to John, who turns away.
So, who's the guy? You replacing me?
Give me a break. Where you been?
He surfs real well.
Come on, he's from Kansas or something.
He's from Kansas? Really?
Heads up!
John catches the football.
Yeah. Good catch.
John spins the ball on his finger, then throws it back. That night, another game of football is underway.
Ready! Stand! Push! Go! 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 Go!
A long-haired surfer on Bodhi's team scores. On Bodhi's team, Tyler is dwarfed by the guys. John's quarterback, and as the ball is passed between the legs of a teammate, he takes it and throws it to another player. Back in the snap, John takes the ball again, then a third time. He tosses it hard past Bodhi and onto a teammate who scores. Shaggy-haired Bodhi looks annoyed. That's Tyler's turn. She catches the ball and darts off along the beach to score. She passes the ball on. The makeshift football field is floodlit in the darkness by the headlights of the cars parked on the beach. Bodhi tackles John, knocking him to the ground. In In the snap, the ball is passed to Bodie, who chucks it onto one of his players. As Bodie races off along the shore, the ball is thrown back to him, and he charges on as his teammates tackle all oncomers. John pushes two of Bodie's teammates out of his way and thunders after the tan-toned surfer. John catches up with him and tackles him, bringing him down into the sea. Soaked, they get to their feet, eyeing each other as the rest of the guys race over.
Don't you think that's a little out of line?
Whoa, cool it, Roach. Don't you know who this is?
No, I don't know who this is.
This is Johnny Utah, the Ohio State Buckeyes All-Conference, remember?
Number 9, man. How you doing?
Man, I knew you. It was the Rose Bowl. 3 years ago, you beat SC, right?
You? You did this.
That
was one hell of a game.
You got nuked in the last quarter or something.
Yeah, I got my knee folded back about 90 degrees the wrong way.
Whoa. And that's why you never went pro?
2 years of surgery. Missed my window. Went through law school instead.
Law school? You're a lawyer? Wow. Well, life's not over yet, man. You're surfing.
Lawyers don't surf.
This one does.
Let's play some football!
John joins Pappas in Harp's office.
Special Agent Utah, this is not some job flipping burgers at the local drive-in. Yes, the surfboard bothers me. Yes, your approach to this whole goddamn case bothers me. And yes, you bother me! And Pappas! Oh, for the love of Christ. Just how the hell did I ever even let you talk me into this whole boneheaded idea to begin with?
Harp, we're working undercover. It takes time. We produced a few...
No! Let me tell you what you've produced. Over the last 2 weeks, you two have produced exactly squat! Squat! During which time, the ex-presidents have robbed two more banks! Now, for Christ's sake, does either one of you have anything even remotely interesting to tell me?
Hart glares at them, hands on his hips.
Caught my first tube this morning, sir.
God damn it!
In the corridor...
Why did you leave that thing in the car?
It sticks out so I can't lock it. Ugh. Anyway, what's his problem? We're handling our caseload. I'm surfing on my own time.
I know it. Just don't rub Harp's nose in it.
Look, Angelo, you think I joined the FBI to learn to surf? This was your lame-o idea in the first place. You gotta back me up on this.
Johnny, we better come up with something real quick.
My friend.
Bashing the double doors with his surfboard, John crashes into his open plan office. Miss Deer looks round at him. They study data on a computer screen.
Encino savings and loan. Guard grabbed LBJ's ponytail.
28 robberies. And what did we get from it? One hair.
Angela, what? Pay attention. There's going to be a test afterward. Lab is showing traces of toxins in the hair. Selenium, titanium, and arsenic. The beaches are always being closed because of waste spills, right?
Yeah.
And surfers are territorial. They stick mostly to certain breaks. If we can get some hair samples and get a match at a certain beach, we'd know which break the ex-president's surf.
He leans into Pappas.
You buying this?
He glances at John out of the corner of his eye.
No.
No.
But let's do it anyway. It will bug the shit out of Harp.
They stand.
My man.
Yeah.
They high-five. On a sign, a beach reads, Beach Closed. Despite this and a looming power station, people sit on the sand. Two long-haired surfers sit under a blanket taking drugs. Smoke wafts out as Pappas approaches.
Hey, you two are done making out. I need to talk to you.
What's this fucking narco entrapment or what, dude?
Not exactly, dude.
Oh, shit.
Make it away from a girlfriend.
Thank you. Dude, he cut my hair.
So what? He didn't bust us.
Dude, he fucking cut my hair.
Rah, don't move. Got some huge sucker crawling right into your ear.
John yanks his hair.
Got it!
Hey! Leave some fucking hair, man. Easy.
Saved your life, bro.
Later back in a lab at HQ, each hair sample is checked. Pappas and John stand expectantly beside a bespectacled man in a white lab coat.
PCBs, selenium, titanium, arsenic. The percentages look right. Here's a match.
Here's a match.
Latigo Beach. Nice point break. Long workable rides.
Surfs up, ace.
In bright sunshine, a muscular black guy surfs wearing only tight lycra shorts. Nearby, John lies on his board, paddling through the water with his arms. The muscular guy in the lycra shorts surfs past him.
Stay off my way!
He surfs on, expertly weaving back and forth on his wave.
Good, let's try to drop in.
Papa sits in a car parked at the side of the road, which runs alongside the beach. Jiggling along to the sound of his car radio, he lifts his shades and looks through a pair of binoculars.
Paddle, paddle, paddle.
He watches John paddle back towards the shore, and as a wave lifts him, he makes to stand up. Alongside him, a more proficient-looking surfer with blonde hair rides the same wave, heading straight towards John, who wobbles unsteadily on his board. Pappas continues to watch through his binoculars as the blonde surfer closes in on an oblivious John. They collide and both men wipe out. Their boards toss and turn as the foam engulfs them. Pappas looks amused. The blonde guy and John surface. He punches John.
Ding my board,
what did you want? Where the fuck you're going?
The guy pulls a flick knife and cuts the leash, which attaches John to his board.
Politeness count, asshole! Go back to the valley, man!
The blonde surfer paddles away and John trudges out of the sea to the shore, where his surfboard has been washed up on the beach. Pappas laughs. On the beach, John lifts his towel to his mouth, concealing a walkie-talkie.
Angelo, I've eaten shit 47 times, I've got my lights punched out by some psycho local, and there must be 20 guys out here with ponytails.
Patience, hotshot. Patience. It'll be subtle if it's here at all. There'll be a group within the group. These guys are a real tight unit. You'll see them, you'll know it.
Pappas puts his binoculars back to his eyes and watches as John, carrying his towel and board, disappears behind some bushes. After scanning the area for a few moments and unable to see John, Pappas lowers the binoculars. Meanwhile, John stands in his wetsuit under an open-air shower with his eyes closed. A tanned guy with a large winged tattoo on his back approaches. He turns off the shower and three other guys join him. One of them is the blonde surfer who punched John. His eyes now open, John looks from one threatening-looking guy to the next.
This the guy?
Yeah.
Okay. I know. This is where you tell me all about how locals rule and yuppie insects like me shouldn't be surfing your break and all that, right?
Nope. That would be a waste of time.
We're just gonna fuck you up.
John eyes them. John thrusts his board at his blonde-haired assailant, then swings round, hitting one of the other guys. The board snapped in two by a blow from a fist. John bravely tries to fight off his four attackers and is kicked off his feet. He rolls over backwards and quickly stands up again. He throws the blonde-haired surfer to the ground, but one of his buddies gets him round the neck with a cord. John's walkie-talkie rests in his towel.
Johnny, you there? You better not be trying to pick up any babes.
Pappas looks concerned as he talks into his walkie-talkie. He gets out of the car. As John is held, the others punch him. Bodhi charges over.
Back off! He's with me!
Kiss my ass!
Back off, Warchild, seriously.
Warchild takes the cord from around John's neck and pushes him away.
Thank you.
Stay out of this, Bodhi.
What's your name?
Bunker.
Bunker. Listen, Bunker. I'm actually really glad you found me.
Yeah? Why?
John punches him. As Bunker's friend tries to pile in, Bodhi fends them off. From a distance, Pappas sees Bunker being flung across the sand. Working together with strong right hooks and a few well-placed kicks, Bodhi and John see off their aggressors.
This is stimulating, but we're out of here.
Let's go, Utah.
Bunker and his friends tend to their wounds as Bodhi and John go.
Just keep walking.
As they head towards some steps which lead onto the road, a frantic-looking Pappas appears.
Hold it! Look! You two guys see the kid run through here with a car stereo? He stole it from me. No, but there's four guys back there you might want to check out. Oh, thanks, buddy.
Hope you find him.
Don't worry, I will.
Pappas jogs off.
You like to start shit, don't you?
Who are those guys?
Nazi assholes. The guy you dropped is Bunker Weiss. The big one is Warchild, a.k.a. Lupton Pittman. The other two, hell, I don't know. They think there's some kind of death squad around here.
What's their program?
Brains are wired wrong, and they're into some bad shit.
Like what? Illegal shit?
Maybe, I don't know. That's not what I'm talking about. They only live to get radical. They don't have any real understanding of the sea, so they'll never get the spiritual side of it.
On the road.
Hey, you're not gonna start chanting or anything, are you?
I might.
This is me.
They stop by John's car.
So, you still haven't figured out what riding waves is all about, have you?
John shrugs.
It's a state of mind. It's that place where you lose yourself and you find yourself. You don't know it yet, but you got it. It's right there. I saw you with those guys. You're a pit bull. You didn't hesitate, and they didn't back you down an inch. And that is very rare in this world.
Well, thanks for stepping in.
De nada. Later. Oh, hey. I'm, having some people over at my house tonight if you want to come.
Sure. Where?
Come with Tyler. She knows.
All right.
Later, John's in Pappas' car.
Next time you leave your piece and shield in the car, you stay in sight, okay?
Okay, Dad.
Ahead on the road, Bunker and his friends travel in an open-top Jeep.
Yeah, I need you to run a plate for me. 2, Denver, 4, Sam, Niner, 5, Niner, late 70s Jeep.
John talks into the radio as he watches them weave dangerously through the traffic.
The Jeep belongs to a Bunker Weiss, my buddy. The guy's got quite a sheet. Yeah? Yeah, skip all that. Give me the greatest hits. Felony possession of cocaine, that's good. Felony B&E, 3 months in juvie. Felony assault. Postgraduate work at Chino. Excellent, I'm loving it. These guys really fit the profile. I say we lay down hard.
Night, Pappas and John sit in Pappas' car watching Bunker and his friends party in their house.
Here comes the night shift.
Another car pulls up. John wanders along the sidewalk towards it. Two agents sit inside.
This is bullshit. This is a bullshit lead. This is totally bullshit. Hart must be fucking desperate if he's listening to you two flakes.
See you bright and early, guys.
Yeah, right.
Pappas comes over.
Oh. Cold pizza for you. It's good for breakfast. See you.
He leaves them the pizza box. Pappas and John get back in Pappas' car.
When did Harp say we'd get the warrant?
He's gonna push it through first thing. You better get some sleep. This could be an interesting morning.
At Bodie's place, a raucous party is underway. A blonde woman in a studded bra top eats fire. John and Tyler make their way through the throng. A young guy with a blonde bob, Gromit, looks out of it as he moves his body to the music, snaking his arms. A sexy, scantily clad young woman with long brown hair writhes to the music, her arms held up above her head. John and Tyler find Bodie locked in the arms of a woman. He bends her back, licking salt off her chest.
Hey, Bodie.
Bodie downs a shot of tequila, then sucks on a lemon slice which protrudes from the woman's mouth. Tyler watches.
A tart in that tree.
The woman.
I like it.
Watch yourself, she's a wild one.
Tyler shakes her head.
Make yourself at home, what's mine is yours.
John stares at Bodie as Tyler leads him away. Later outside, Gromit.
Man, it jacks up. Drop down into the pit. It's 25 feet straight down in your balls. Man, your balls are about this big. And the whole thing's fucking roaring, right? Pushing you forward like you're a hood ornament on a freight train or something, man.
Yeah, and if you lose it, the fish will be picking you out of the coral.
Big wave riding for macho assholes with a death wish.
No, it's not. It's the ultimate rush. There's nothing that comes close to it. Not even sex.
Maybe that's because you're not doing it right, Roach.
Goatee bearded Roach gives her a look.
Just paddling out into Big Sur, it's total commitment.
You can't just call time out and stroll on into the beach if you don't like the way things are going.
So what's the biggest? Waimea?
Ridden?
Yeah.
Kaha. Gain a point.
Bells Beach, Australia.
Whoa.
No way Bells is bigger than Waimea, bro.
We'll be next year.
Bodie believes the 50-year storm is coming next year.
50-year storm? What's that?
That's kind of a legend.
No, it's real. It's absolutely real. Everything moves in cycles. So twice a century, the ocean lets us know just how small we really are. A winter storm comes out of Antarctica, tearing up the Pacific. And it sends a huge swell north 2,000 miles. And when it hits Bell's Beach, it'll turn into the biggest surf this planet has ever seen, and I will be there.
So will I.
Yeah. Bodie stays cool as his friends Roach and Gromit and Nathaniel holler.
You want the ultimate. Gotta be willing to pay the ultimate price.
Bodie looks steadily at John.
It's not tragic to die doing what you love.
It's
how I want to go.
Well, I ain't gonna live to see 30.
Tyler looks fed up.
It's too much testosterone here.
Wearing a short, tight-fitting, pale blue crush velvet dress, she gets up. She gives John's shoulder a squeeze, then walks away. He stares thoughtfully after her, then looks back round at Bodhi. John trots down some steps which curve round the side of Bodhi's beach house. Inside, Tyler wanders through the now deserted living room. John pauses by the open French windows, watching her for a moment, then goes indoors. Candles light the room and various pictures of Bodhi performing death-defying stunts cover the walls.
Bunch of goddamn adrenaline junkies.
She walks over towards John.
Hope you're not buying into this bonsai bullshit like the rest of Bodhi's movies.
He looks at some of the pictures, then turns to Tyler.
What are you talking about?
He moves to stand beside her.
You got the kamikaze look, Johnny. I've seen it. Bodhi can smell it a mile away. He'll take you to the edge. Past. Hey, Bodhi.
Johnny has his own demons. Don't you, Johnny?
John meets Bodhi's gaze, then Bodhi steps over to a surfboard on the wall.
What's going on?
People charge past John and Tyler as Bodhi takes down the silver surfboard.
Here. Time for a little stealth mission. You up for it?
John takes hold of the mirrored board.
Let's do it.
John meets Bodhi's intense gaze. A huge wave rolls into shore in the darkness. Bodhi and the others pile out of jeeps and cars, wearing wetsuits and carrying their surfboards.
Can barely do this in broad daylight.
Come on. At least nobody's gonna see how bad you are.
A nervous-looking John strides towards the sea with Tyler. On the beach, a bearded guy with long brown hair pours paraffin onto some branches. Bodhi, John, Tyler, and the others paddle out to sea on their boards. The bearded guy throws a match onto the paraffin-soaked branches. They erupt in flames. Out at sea, Tyler paddles beside Bodhi.
I don't think he's ready for this.
Nah, he'll be fine.
Behind them, an enormous wave thunders towards John. It swirls over him, white foam crashing onto the shore. John emerges in one piece, still lying on his board. He paddles over towards Bodhi.
I gotta be crazy.
But are you crazy enough?
One of Bodhi's friends rides a gigantic wave. Tyler weaves back and forth on a curving wave in the darkness.
Shit out here, I'm gonna die.
Just feel what the wave is doing. Then accept its energy, get in sync, and then charge with it. You don't need to see.
Yeah, right. Vision is highly overrated.
A wave approaches.
Okay, Johnny, this one's got your number on it. Let's jam. Now paddle. Go, boy, jam!
Shit, die now. Fucking die now!
John paddles wildly, the wave on his tail. He stands riding the wave alongside Bodhi. White horses foam around them. The impressive wave carries them on towards the shore. Another wave in front of them hits the sandy beach in a rush of white spray.
A fucking surfing!
Tyler chuckles as she sits on her board watching. On the beach, the fire still roars as Bodhi and his friends come out of the sea carrying their boards.
Looks like we lost somebody.
Yeah.
You hungry?
Leave the fire for them.
You want to get something to eat?
You want to get something to
eat? Yeah,
I'm dying. Yeah.
Out on the sea in the inky blackness, Tyler paddles over towards John.
Had enough?
John sits astride his board.
Yeah. I just want to sit out here for a minute.
Look at you.
What?
Well, usually you have this intense sort of scowl, concentration on your face, like you're doing all this for a school project or something. Or like you've got something driving you.
John hangs his head as she regards him.
Look at it. It's gone.
She caresses his forehead. He nods.
If I didn't know better, I'd say you looked almost happy.
He searches for the words.
I can't describe what I'm feeling.
You don't have to.
Sitting next to each other on their boards, they gaze into each other's eyes. John lays his hands on her bare leg.
Goosebumps.
Yeah, it's cold.
Yeah.
She glances down awkwardly as he gazes at her.
Come here.
John pulls her board closer to him and strokes the top of her arm. She leans towards him and their lips meet. Pulling away, she studies his face lovingly, and then, putting her left hand behind his neck, she pulls him closer, kissing him hungrily as he caresses her shoulders. From below, their surfboards are black oval silhouettes, with glittering moonlight silvering the water between them. The following morning, two surfboards lie on the sand, their bases uppermost, each with three small keels, sticking up into the morning air. Smoke from the remains of the fire drifts past John and Tyler, lying next to each other under a blanket. John opens his eyes and sits up abruptly. Grabbing his jeans, he searches in his pocket for his watch, which he pulls out.
Holy shit.
What?
Shit.
He pulls on his jeans.
I'm really late. I'm really late.
He smiles.
Holy shit. Shit! Oh, shit!
He leans over her and gently kisses her lips and forehead. He stops, gazes at her, and then gently places his lips on her neck before planting a series of tender kisses on her lips. She grins up at him and runs her hands up and down his muscular arms as he supports himself over her in a press-up position. Kissing her again, he gets to his feet. He starts to go. But kiss. Later, John powers his white Ford Mustang down an undulating back alley, clouds of dust billowing in the air in its wake. He slides to a halt on the opposite side of the alley to a beige sedan. John leaps out and hurries over to the sedan, reaching in through the open driver's window and grabbing a police walkie-talkie. He starts to run down the alley, but thinks better of it, stops and shoots off around the side of a house. He comes up behind two armed FBI agents.
You guys need any help?
I can't believe you're late to your own raid. What a flake.
Has that worthless quarterback punk partner of mine shown up yet?
Right here.
Well, very good of you to show up, hotshot.
Now, watch it. God, you're gonna tear my skin. God damn it.
I'm ready to rock, Angela. Where you want me?
Okay, here's how it is. Babbitt and Alvarez are gonna go in the back door. Cullen's gonna back me up. I want you at the side window by the hedge. Now, you're strictly backup. I don't want to burn your cover. Have you got that?
Got it.
Good. Now, take your position. It's showtime.
John hurries off.
Asshole.
John tears back down the alley. Pappas walks past the front of the houses.
Scooby!
John darts through a back door, pocketing the walkie-talkie and drawing his pistol. The two FBI agents he was with, Babbitt and Alvarez, start to move towards the back door of Bunker's house. Alvarez stops at a corner, aiming his pistol around it and checking that the coast is clear before nodding to Babbitt to run to the next corner near the back door.
Scooby, where are you? You see a little dog?
No, I'm on.
No dog? Scooby, come on!
John jogs on tiptoes past the side of a house and into another back garden. Alvarez scuttles past Babbitt and peers into the window beside the back door. A man's in the kitchen pouring beer over some cereal. Alvarez nods for Babbitt to take up his position on the other side of the back door. Pappas walks up to the front door.
Here, Scooby! Scooby!
John's now crouched at the side of Bunker's house. He takes a leather wallet from his back pocket, opens it, and removes a dentist's mirror on a long collapsible stem, which he extends. He holds the mirror up to the window above him. Inside, he spots a man, Tone, thrashing around on a bed, listening to a Walkman. John turns the mirror and sees the silhouetted form of a woman taking a shower. John spins round, drawing his pistol as a man in the next door garden starts a lawnmower. A little unnerved, John puts his gun away and holds the mirror back to the window. Bunker storms into the room and prods Tone. Tone empties a sack of guns onto the bed. A woman in a bikini opens the front door.
Yeah, what?
Hi.
Oh, have you seen my dog? I got a little dog I'm missing.
Inside, the guns are handed out. John pulls out his walkie-talkie.
Colin, this is Utah. Get Angelo out of there. They're pulling out a fucking arsenal.
Alvarez gets his walkie-talkie.
Utah, repeat. Say again.
The lawnmower is pushed up to the bushes behind which John's crouched.
Colin, you copy? Colin! Alvarez!
Don't let him pull his badge!
Fuck! I can't hear jack shit over the lawnmower. Christ!
John picks up his gun. Bunker grabs a submachine gun and looks up at Tone.
Something's going down, man. This ain't right.
Shut the fuck out, man. It's nothing.
Will you shut the fuck up? Check the window, bro. Do it.
Warchild goes to the window and peers out, John pressing himself against the wall beneath. Warchild doesn't spot John and hurries to the door to join Bunker, listening to those at the front door.
I told you, I don't know anything.
Hide the shit!
Dog.
Wait. Are you sure it's not in the backyard?
Look, maybe I'm telling you, I ain't got time for this.
There's two guys out the back, man! Duck down! Oh, shit, we're fucked! That fuck comes through the door, I'm gonna pop him up, man. Swear to Christ.
Well, are you sure it's not in the back?
I'm
maybe
telling
I can
you,
take
he ain't
look.
Back there.
Well, is there anybody
there else
around here seeing
it? Get the fuck out of my face.
FBI, gorgeous.
Bunker fires at Pappas. John opens a side door behind Bunker.
FBI, drop it!
Fuck you!
Bunker swings round and fires, but John leaps back behind the wall. Bullets smash the shower surround. Looking back inside, John shoots Bunker. Warchild fires back, John darting into the house and returning fire. Babbitt kicks open the back door and he and Alvarez run down a passage into the kitchen. The two agents bring the man down and handcuff him. Another man uses the woman who was at the front door as a shield. Pappas shoots him in the forehead. He falls, pulling the woman down. Pappas strides towards her and pulls her up. He's back to the bathroom door. John exchanges fire with Warchild. The naked woman from the bathroom hits John, who drops his weapon. Warchild crouches to check on the motionless Bunker. Tone, pistol in hand, scoots past him and reaches a door just as Alvarez pushes it open. Tone is slammed up against the wall and shoots himself in the foot. The naked woman stabs Babbitt in the back. Warchild rushes to a window. John charges towards him and the two men fall through the glass and into the neighbouring garden. Warchild kicks John off him and scrambles to his feet. He pelts away, but John catches up with him, tackling him to the ground, almost knocking over the man with the lawnmower. John repeatedly punches Warchild in the back, and then putting his hand under Warchild's chin, forces him up onto his knees. Warchild pulls out a knife, catching John by surprise. John loses his grip, and Warchild jumps to his feet. John grabs Warchild's knife arm and twists it, throwing his opponent to the ground, inches away from the spinning blades of the upended mower. Lying on top of Warchild, John grips Warchild's right arm and forces the knife he's holding towards the mower blades. The knife spins away. Warchild manages to squirm round and grab John's hair, lifting up his head and forcing John's face down towards the mower blades. Pappas shoots the mower.
Speak into the microphone, squid brain.
Defeated, Warchild slumps to the ground. Pappas kicks him.
Look.
Pappas kneels.
Give me a hand.
John gets up.
Give me the other hand.
And watches as Pappas handcuffs Warchild.
You okay?
John nods.
Fuck!
Later, Tone's held down on a bed by a medic.
No! Don't touch it!
John's in the bathroom washing his face. Pensively, he looks up into the cracked mirror above the basin and notices Pappas standing behind him. He stands up straight.
It's been paper targets up until today, huh?
John nods and looks down.
It's no different, Johnny. Just a little more to clean up. You did all right today. You did real good.
The man who was in the kitchen.
God damn, son of a bitch!
He has a box.
You're cowboys, you're the real cowboys, right? Batman and Robin. You know what this is, huh? You know what this is, punk?
He takes out two bags.
It's two keys. Uncut. Crystal meth.
Oh, shit.
Special agent Utah.
Hop.
I'd like you to meet Agent Dietz. Works for the DEA.
Nice tattoo, Dietz.
Oh, you like that, Pappas, huh? Fuck you.
Here's a record of your suspect's movements for every day over the last 3 months.
All I want to know, smart guy, okay? All I want to know is how are these guys robbing Tarzana City National Bank on August 2nd when they were in Fort fucking Lauderdale August 2nd? Why don't you figure that out?
It's not an easy thing to do, is it, Utah?
You fucking jerks.
Agent Harp glares at John and walks out. John bows his head despondently and swallows.
Oh, shit.
Pappas paces.
Shit.
That night, John lies on his back in bed, his naked chest pale against the black sheets. Tyler next to him, her crooked arm across his naked chest. He stares up at the ceiling in solemn reflection as he gently caresses Tyler's elbow with the fingers of his right hand, his left hand behind his head on the black pillow. He blinks, the rest of his face remaining motionless. He jerks his head up in shock and Tyler stirs. John grabs the American football helmet-shaped alarm clock from the bedside table and stares at the time. It's 4:56. He moves Tyler's arm, gets up and goes to the front door. Bodie and his mates are outside.
He leaves it.
Ask Nathaniel.
Hey. 5 foot walls and zeros, let's go.
Tyler comes to the door.
Hey, Tyler.
Hey, Bodie.
So let's go. Time's a-wasting. Now.
He does this.
In the pale dawn light, a huge roller breaks into a foaming fountain of white. Boards under their arms, John and Tyler walk along the beach. Bodie and his mates are already in the ocean swimming out to sea. John and Tyler watch as the four surfers mount their boards and catch a mighty wave, their boards roaring down the towering curl of water, leaving frothing white scars in their wake. Two of them turn their boards round, jump the crest of the wave and then race back down its leading edge as the wave starts to subside. One of them does a Mooney, Bodie whoops in delight, Nathaniel cheers, John stops walking and stares at the surfers. A little way ahead of him, Tyler turns around.
You alright? You look like you saw a ghost.
John thinks back.
Forget about it, kid. They're ghosts.
John glances blankly at her and then looks back out to sea, where the surfers are speeding across another wave.
I gotta go.
You gotta what?
Listen, I forgot all about a meeting I have this morning, a new client. I got a jam, sorry, really. I'll call you later.
That night, John's with Pappas on a street.
So I started trailing him.
With the Zen Surfmaster?
Bodie, yeah. I'm on him all day, right? He goes here, he goes there, he goes to Tower Records, buys some CDs, he has lunch at Patrick's Roadhouse. He goes into the Assured Trust Savings and Loan.
Did he rob it?
Cute. He's inside 20 minutes. The other guy, Roach, waited in the truck. They were scoping it out, right?
Well, they were scoping it out, they were cashing a check.
Wait. Then they go back to their beach house and they box up all their shit.
Yeah.
See, summer's over. They load it in Bodie's truck and they take it to a public storage unit. And I lost them after that, but the house is empty. They're definitely out of here.
God damn it. Why didn't you call me? They're probably halfway to Maui.
No. They've got to pick up some traveling money first. Assured Trust tomorrow. Next day outside latest. I definitely got a feeling on this.
Well, you got a feeling. Last time you had a feeling, I had to kill a guy. And I hate that. It looks bad on my report.
John stares seriously at him.
Angelo, I'm right this time. We can still win this one.
Okay. Tomorrow morning, first thing, we'll be at the bank. Like stink on shit.
Next day, they're in the sedan.
This Calvin and Hobbs is funny.
Oranges, sir. Take some oranges.
You want some oranges?
Water, sir. No.
No, we got a lot.
Dollar, sir.
No, thanks. Good luck.
The street vendor goes. God. Pappas turns back to the comic section of a paper.
For a turkey cemetery.
Oh. It's time for lunch.
John checks his watch.
Angelo, it's 10:30.
Right around that corner, there is a sandwich shop. They sell meatball sandwiches. Best I've ever tasted. Would you go get me two?
John's unsure.
Come on, partner.
With an incredulous smirk, John gets out.
Thank you.
Pappas looks back down at the comic strip.
Utah, give me two.
John rounds the corner opposite the bank and goes to the ordering window of the sandwich shop.
Hi, how you doing?
Hi. Can I have two meatball sandwiches, a tuna and wheat, and two lemonades, please?
As he waits, a red Lincoln sedan pulls up at the bank building behind him. Four armed men in president's masks jump out and sprint into the bank.
Two meatballs, one tuna on wheat, two lemonades, that's $7.84.
John pays and waits for his change. He glances around, spotting the Lincoln, then turns back to collect his money.
Thank you.
Picking up the food carton, he wanders back to the car. Pappas is still engrossed in his reading material.
Oh boy.
John.
God, scared me.
Here's the one that looks like a roadkill.
A roadkill?
Troy.
thank you very much.
Here's your lemonade.
Ah, thanks. Oh, whoa, whoa.
You said Lincoln, pull up.
I'm so hungry I could eat the ass end out of a dead rhino. I should have had you get me three of these things. What, Lincoln?
The ex-presidents come out of the bank. John spots them.
God damn!
FBI!
Yeah, freeze!
I got him!
Go! 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 Freeze!
Nixon raises his gun to shoot at John, but Reagan stops him. The ex-presidents hop in their car and screech away. John shoots out their rear window.
Get in! Jesus Christ, go!
John gets in the car beside Pappas and they roar off after the ex-presidents. As the robbers take a sharp right-hand corner, they bash against another car. John and Pappas chase after them.
Go!
Nixon turns to Reagan, who's driving. Pappas hammers the car around another right-hander. The ex-president smashed through a car park barrier.
Punch it, man.
Pappas and John chase after them.
He's still behind us!
As John and Pappas' car tears after the robbers, it takes a left, raising smoke from its tires. The ex-president's car weaves through a row of vehicles parked under an underpass. John and Pappas roar along another row, running parallel with it. In the ex-president's car, Nixon looks around trying to see where the feds have got to.
I can't see him!
Tell me where he is!
The feds' car suddenly appears on their right and bashes into them.
We got you!
John and Pappas crash into a parking lot attendant's booth. The ex-presidents get away but pop their tires on a spike strip at the car park exit.
Come on!
John leaves Pappas and runs after the ex-president's car, which races along raising showers of sparks from its wheel rims. Reagan turns to his colleagues.
Okay, guys, real quick, it's emergency sanitation.
The ex-president's car pulls onto a garage forecourt in a shower of sparks. They all leap out and Reagan grabs a petrol pump nozzle from an attendant.
Back up, buddy!
Try it, man. Just try it.
What about the old Chevy? Write this guy down here. Come on.
I got him. I got the guy.
Take care of him. Get away from the car. Move it. Come on. Get in. Wait.
The other ex-presidents steal another car as Reagan deals with the attendant.
Don't do it, man. Don't do it. Don't be stupid. Run!
He sprays fuel over the attendant, then holds up a lighter. The attendant runs for it as Reagan puts the lighter to the pump nozzle and uses it as a flamethrower to torch their old getaway car. The other ex-presidents watch as Reagan hoses down the getaway car with a wave of fire. Reagan puts the pump nozzle down and heads for the freshly stolen car. As he does so, John arrives and leaps over a parked car, grabs hold of Reagan and knocks him to the ground. The two roll around through a pool of burning petrol. Pappas arrives and opens fire on the ex-president's new car. Panicked, they drive off. Reagan, his jacket now ablaze, knocks John under the bonnet of a parked car and runs off across the forecourt. John recovers himself and chases after Reagan, whose jacket is now merely smouldering. They chase down a system of very narrow alleyways behind some residential buildings. A mushroom cloud of fire and smoke rises into the air from the petrol station behind them. They dash out onto a road between some garages. Reagan smashes through a garden fence, runs across the garden and jumps over the fence at the far end. John chases after him. In the front garden of the house, Reagan knocks over a woman with a hose and vaults across another fence into the road. He runs on across the street and hares in front of a dust cart. In hot pursuit, John barges into a man, knocking him over, then tears up the street after Reagan. The ex-president leaps over a fence and vaults up onto the patio of somebody's house. He runs in through the front door and chases through the house, startling a woman, then runs on into the backyard. John hares through the house after him. Reagan runs out of the back garden across a road and vaults a high fence on the other side. John is hot on his heels. They chase through some alleys and Reagan runs into a house, locking a glass sliding door behind him. John grabs a potted plant, smashes the door with it and runs inside. He falls over a table. As John picks himself up, a woman hits him with a vacuum cleaner hose. As John runs on out of the back door, Reagan is waiting for him, and he throws a dog at John, who kicks the dog aside, then runs after Reagan. The two sprint on down another alleyway, at the end of which Reagan vaults a fence and hurries down a very steep bank towards a storm drain. John vaults the fence as Reagan jumps down into the storm drain. John jumps down into the drain after him, lands badly and rolls on the floor, clutching at his knee. John gets up and hobbles after Reagan. He draws his gun and collapses. Reagan runs across the storm drain and climbs up a fence at the far side. When he gets to the top, he turns and sees John aiming his pistol at him. Reagan's eyes smile behind the mask. John struggles with himself but can't shoot. Reagan turns and climbs on out of the drain. John rolls on his back and shoots into the air. Reagan runs away along the path on the far side of the drain. Later, John is back at HQ, resting his now bandaged knee in the radio room. The radio operator takes a message.
Again, 41.
He writes a note down.
Roger that, 41. Calplate 562, Sam Ida X-ray. Base out.
Puffing on a cigar, Pappas comes in.
Nothing?
Nothing.
Johnny, I want to see you in my office right now.
John gets up and hobbles after Pappas.
Unit 23, see the manager, 4650 Wilshire. Roger, 23. Unit 41, further information on suspect vehicle.
I want you to know something. When you shoot, you don't miss.
I missed.
No. I believe you're either scared or you're getting too goddamn close to the surfing guru buddy of yours. I don't believe you're scared. I want you to go home and get some rest. You look like hammered shit. And if I get anything that resembles your boy, I'll beep you. Now go home. Damn.
So what's the other guy look like?
With Tyler.
Never saw him. That's your basic hit and run.
You look like you got in a train wreck. Stupid jerk just kept driving. Ouch.
She cleans up his cuts and bruises with a tissue.
Johnny, what is it with you? Got that look again. You're about to tell me something and then you don't. Or you can't.
There's something I wanted to tell you. It's important. It could really affect things between you and me.
She stares at him and dabs at his face. He turns away.
Man, this is harder than I thought.
He takes a deep breath and glances up at her. She smiles warmly at him.
God, men are so bad at this.
He's about to speak, but she puts her finger to his lips.
Some other time.
She leans forward and kisses him on the lips. They break for a moment, then she kisses him again. That night on the beach, the ex-presidents, now out of costume, are gathered round a crackling driftwood fire.
You act like nothing happened.
Relax, Nathaniel.
Don't tell me to relax, Bodie! He's a fucking federal agent!
Should have shot him when I had the chance.
No, Rosie.
Do you realize that we have hit 30 banks in 3 years and they haven't been able to touch us? And all this does is up the stakes of the game.
Fuck the stakes, Bodie! I mean, the only person this is a game to is you, man. This is real. I mean, this is serious shit, and I am scared, okay? So I say we get the fuck out of here now, tonight, okay?
Run, you die. Come on, think about it. This was never about money for us. It was about us against the system. That system that kills the human spirit. We stand for something. To those dead souls inching along the freeways in their metal coffins, we show them that the human spirit is still alive.
The others sit back for a moment and contemplate this.
So you trust me?
They all nod. Bodie smiles.
Okay. Then don't worry about this guy. I know exactly what to do with him.
Bodie stares into the orange flames. At home, John lies on his bed asleep with his arms stretched out. The shadow of a hand holding an automatic pistol falls across the bedroom wall and moves towards John. The gun goes off, blowing a hole in the pillow beside John's head.
A liar! You lied to me!
Tyler, put the gun down.
I'll bet you lied about everything.
She throws down his FBI ID.
I'll bet you lied about your parents! You just tell me the truth, Johnny. Did your parents die in a car accident? Did they?
They live in Columbus, Ohio. I work bank robbery. The guys I'm after are surfers. I needed you at first, but after that I did...
Fuck you! Don't you have a soul?
She drops the pistol and glares angrily at him.
God damn you to hell.
Tyler.
She runs off.
Tyler, wait! Tyler!
Later, John's on the phone.
Leave a message.
Tyler, look, I fucked up, okay? I know I fucked up. I wanted to tell you, but I couldn't. I was afraid you'd leave. Good guess, huh? Fuck, why can't I ever say what I really mean?
He lies back on his bed and sleeps.
I lied to you. I'm an asshole. But I need you, Tyler. I want you to know that I've never known anyone like you before in my life. And I hope you change your mind.
He goes to the door.
Tyler, wait, I'm coming.
It's Bodhi, Roach, Nathaniel, and Gromit.
Howdy, bro. So come on, we're rolling.
What's going on, Bodhi?
Whoa, what happened? You cut yourself shaving?
I don't think I want to surf right now.
Surf? No, this is different, Johnny. This is really different. You are gonna love it. So we gotta get your stuff and get out of here.
They go into the bedroom.
Okay, socks.
He chucks John his socks.
Sure. Boots, there we go.
John tries to reach his gun on the floor.
Okay, step on the truck. We gotta go, life is short.
You are gonna love this.
As dawn breaks, a twin-prop plane starts its engines on a remote airfield. A General Motors pickup truck rumbles along the airport apron. Bodhi and his mates are on board. The pickup truck pulls up near the plane and the guys get off the truck. They throw their stuff down from the truck. Bodhi takes off his coat.
Thank you, sir. Ready to go.
Hey.
Ever done this before?
No. But I've seen it on TV.
100% pure adrenaline. Other guys snort for it, jab a vein for it, and all you gotta do is jump.
Sure, it's a blast, but listen, I sort of screwed my knee up yesterday.
Oh, yeah, I noticed you limping, but hey, don't worry about it, bro. Don't worry at all, because we're not gonna land on land.
Oh, well, fine, then. I feel so much better.
Okay, let's fly.
They get in the plane, and it takes off. On board, the guys get ready for their jump. Bodhi straps an altimeter to his wrist. Nathaniel pats John on the shoulder.
3 minutes!
So this is a little ceremony we always do at the end of the summer. One last speed star.
Yeah!
Oh, by the way, you might want to pull that little orange thing sometime.
The life you save may be your own.
So, who packed my chute?
I did, what?
You don't trust me?
You gotta earn trust.
Okay, we'll earn it together. Here, take mine.
He hands it to John.
Hey, Johnny, I don't think this is such a good idea. Bodhi's pack job's pretty shitty. They only open about half the time.
Less. Bullshit.
Why don't you take young grommets here? How'd that be?
Nah, you don't want this one, man. This one's set for a neck breaker. He's probably better off something like this.
I'm gonna jump or jerk off.
That's my man.
Ready to go? Yeah, let's do it.
The guys pull their chutes on.
Johnny, you're about to jump out of a perfectly good airplane. How do you feel about that?
The side door of the plane opens and Bodhi jumps out, somersaulting through the air. The others jump out, tumbling after Bodhi. They rapidly accelerate earthwards, soon reaching terminal velocity. As John plummets, he holds his arms and legs out to slow his fall. Bodhi adopts a similar, if rather more relaxed, pose, then performs a series of elegant somersaults.
Whoa!
A wide-eyed and exhilarated John looks down at the ground, rushing up towards him. Bodhi floats over in his direction. Roach hurtles down on his back. As Bodhi falls, his long blonde hair is blown back by the wind. Gromit wears a pair of diver's fins in anticipation of their aquatic landing. As he sails down, he looks up for the others. Bodhi performs a corkscrew spin through the air. John laughs. Nathaniel adopts a relaxed armchair sort of pose as he drops. He grins at the others around him. John comically flaps his arms about. As they fall, the guys begin to draw together in the air.
Come on, Johnny!
Roach closes in and grabs hold of Bodhi's left arm. Gromit flies round behind them, closes in and grabs hold of Bodhi's right arm, so the three of them form a line. Nathaniel joins them and grabs hold of Roach's free arm. The four guys call over to John for him to come and join them. Grinning, John heads over.
Come on! Use your arms! Fly like an eagle, baby! Woo!
He closes the distance towards the line of guys.
Keep coming!
He hooks up with them and they form a circle. The human circle plummets down towards a patch of water dotted with rocky outcrops and islands.
This is so beautiful! I love this brown rock shit!
Okay, red!
They break the circle and fly off in different directions. John floats over to Bodhi and they grasp hands. He grins reassuringly at John. Roach, Nathaniel and Gromit deploy their chutes. John and Bodhi continue falling earthwards. Bodhi points to John's chute.
1,000 feet! Pull!
After you, Alphonse! I insist!
They tumble downwards, now passing by a high cliff. Bodhi grins and shakes his head.
Pull the ripcord now!
You first!
Okay!
Son of a bitch!
Bodhi deploys John's drogue chute and it trails upwards, pulling his main chute out behind it. As the canopy opens, it slows John down to a gentle descent. Bodhi laughs and continues to fall. As John drifts down towards the water, Bodhi deploys his chute. It opens barely in time, just slowing his descent before he hits the water. Bodhi's head pops up out of the water. He shakes his head and removes his goggles. John splashes down a few moments later. He pops up on the surface of the water and takes a breath. Gromit, Nathaniel and Roach float down to the water and splash down near John and Bodhi. John looks around.
Jesus Christ. You gotta be losing it.
Bodhi grins over at him and John laughs. Back at the airfield, the parachutists carry their chutes across the runway.
It's the closest you'll ever get to God.
It's like the palm of your hand, man. Just zoop, coming right at
It's ineffable.
Totally we've got experience to share.
We did pull pretty low.
Oh, you never been the same guy.
I tell you, Johnny, be just fine.
Yeah.
Damn, first. Good job. Just drop your chute right there. Good job. Pack off your shoulders. Kick it back. Step out of it. I'll pack that for you, Bodhi.
Okay, thanks. Johnny, come here. There's something you need to see.
John follows Bodhi over to a Chevrolet van. Bodhi opens the back door.
Hop in.
John climbs in. Bodhi follows after him.
Okay.
Bodhi produces a mini TV video combination.
What's this?
This is an insurance policy. It will sting a bit, but it's for your own growth, bro. Press play.
John switches on the video player and Tyler appears on screen. She's in her underwear and has been gagged and tied to a chair. She glares at the cameraman, who slowly turns to face a mirror. The reflection reveals him to be a bearded, long-haired, heavy metal style of bloke. Bodhi glances over at John to see how he's taking the video. He watches the screen intently as the man holds a knife to Tyler's throat and looks at his reflection in the mirror. Bodhi turns the TV off.
She is a wild one, isn't she, Special Agent Utah?
John grabs Bodhi's throat.
Fucking dead man!
Whoa, hold it, man. Think it through, man. I'm the only one that knows where she is. I'm the only one. So let me talk.
Talk.
She'll be fine. Rosie won't do anything as long as I meet him at a certain place in time, 6 hours from now.
You call him right now! Tell him to let her go!
Sorry, I can't do it, bro. They're on the road, and where they're going, there are no phones, so you are shit out of luck.
John bangs Bodhi into the side of the van and releases him. Bodhi clutches at his throat as John thumps the side of the van.
Oh, man. I hate this, Johnny. I really do. I hate violence. Don't you see that's why I need Rosie? I could never do that, man. I could never hold a knife to Tyler's throat. She was my woman. We shared time. But Rosie is a mechanism, you know? Once you set him in motion, he will not stop. He's like got this gift of blankness. But when 3 o'clock comes, he will gut her like a pig and try not to get any on his shoes, and there's nothing I can do about it unless I get there. So I guess that makes us partners. Because we both have the same goal, to get me where I need to go, right?
We're wasting time.
Oh, that's what I love about you, Johnny. You are just as sharp as a razor.
Bodhi gets out of the van.
Murphy, you're playing down to Santa Monica, top off the tanks.
All right. Okay, you guys, party time. Let's move it.
All right, we're on it.
John gets out of the van. Later, they're all in the van driving down a coastal road. In the back, Roach takes a pump-action shotgun out of a canvas bag, pumps it and hands it to Gromit in the front.
All I'm asking for is 90 seconds of your life, Johnny. That's it.
They start putting on body armor.
See, it's basic dog psychology. If you scare them and get them peeing down their leg, they submit. Yet if you project weakness, you draw aggression. That's how people get hurt. You see, fear causes hesitation. And hesitation will cause your worst fears to come true. So it's simple. You project strength to avoid conflict.
Peace through superior firepower.
Roach and Bodhi grin and put their clothes on over the body armor. Bodhi empties a pump-action shotgun and hands it to John.
There you go. Can't have you walking through those doors with your dick in your hand, right?
The guys grin at John.
I can't do this.
Sure you can. Who knows, you might like it. It's a killer rush.
Bodhi, this is your fucking wake-up call, man! I am an FBI agent!
I know, man, isn't it wild? But you know, that's what makes it great, Johnny. We can exist on a different plane. We can make our own rules. Why be a servant to the law when you can be its master? Okay. 90 seconds door to door. It's a small price to pay for someone who loves you. She does, you know. It's not her style to fall so hard. I don't think she did with me.
John looks down seriously. Bodhi opens a holdall containing the ex-president's masks.
Okay, Mr. Carter.
Nathaniel.
LBJ.
Gromit.
Mr. Nixon.
He tosses the Nixon mask to Roach. John puts his shirt on over his body armor. Bodhi and Gromit pull on white gloves and Roach loads a pistol.
Well, sorry, Johnny. Looks like you don't get to be president.
There are no more masks. Bodhi puts on his Reagan mask.
I'm ready.
The Chevrolet van crests a hill and pulls up outside a bank. In the back, John shakes his head. Bodhi, now holding a stainless steel Ruger Black Hawk pistol, adjusts the Reagan mask and turns to face John.
Rock and roll!
The ex-presidents leap out of the van and march into the bank.
Everybody freeze! Okay, on the floor, now! Right now!
Got it!
Hold it! Where you going?
Carter thumps a customer.
Everybody
On the floor, asshole. What's your problem? I blew out your fucking kneecaps. You'll be on the floor.
Kicking the ass, ain't it, man? Hey, look. We're on TV. Smile.
A security camera on the wall.
It's gonna be a little hard to play FBI now, though, huh?
Can we just get the goddamn money and get out of here?
Nobody move! Heads down, eyes down! Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. May I have your attention, please? We are the ex-presidents. And as you can see, we are, in fact, robbing your bank. So with a little cooperation, I won't have to blow your heads off. So I need just a couple of minutes of your lives, and we're gone.
To Nixon.
Dick, go to the vault.
Nixon looks around uncertainly.
You, Miss Jennings. Would you be a dear and open the gate for my associate now?
Mr. Duggan's got the keys.
Why are we going to the vault? We never go to the vault.
Just do it! Lyndon, go with them. We're hitting the vault, man. Go, go! Who's Mr. fucking Duggan?
Mr. Duggan, do you want to open the vault?
Or do you want me to do it?
Do whatever they want, Terry.
Take the fucking keys! Take them!
Nixon hustles Terry to the vault.
Move it! Open the damn door! I'll fucking blow your fucking head out! Move it!
Nixon and LBJ follow Terry through a steel-barred door, then to a solid door.
Come on, go!
They go inside.
Okay. All right. Close the back. Big back. Fuck, it's going to the fucking vault! Okay, it's a bad idea.
They take the money. Carter grabs a customer.
Put your hand on the ground. Don't look at me! You're blowing it, man! You're breaking your own rules! You're pulling too much time!
Jimmy, how we doing?
65! What's happening?
Don't worry, man. It's fine. It's fine. It's great.
On the floor, a customer turns to a security guard.
Hey, I'm a cop. So?
The cop lifts his shirt to reveal a gun.
I'm a cop. No, you got a gun on your ankle. When I make the move, you back me up. Please, don't. You don't have to. You back me up. Don't do it. Don't do anything. Don't.
The cop unholsters his gun. The security guard winces anxiously. In the vault.
Hurry up! Let's go! We gotta go! Let's go! Fucking move!
Back in the bank, the cop gets up and shoots Reagan in the chest.
Federal agent undercover!
The cop hits John in the chest twice, knocking him down. Carter shoots the cop, wounding him. The security guard blasts away at Carter, but Nixon shoots the guard in the back. The cop turns and shoots, hitting Nixon and LBJ. Reagan pulls himself up and takes his mask off. Bodie looks around. The cop spots him and changes the magazine on his gun, but too slow. Bodie pulls the trigger on the Black Hawk and the bullet hits the cop in the chest, killing him. John sits up and, gagging, pulls open his shirt, revealing two bullet marks on his bulletproof vest. He pulls it off and checks the rounds haven't gone through.
Fucking
boom! Bodie hurries over to LBJ, who's still on the ground, and pulls his mask off. It's Gromit.
Hang on, brother. Come on, we're out of here. Hang on.
Blood seeps from Gromit's mouth as Bodie carries him.
No.
Bodie lowers Gromit onto the floor, and the younger man looks up at him, terrified. Then his face relaxes and his eyes close. He lies dead. Appalled, Bodie stares down at him and touches his face with his gloved hand. Then he lowers his head. Carter calls over to him.
Are you out of your fucking mind? What's the matter with you? Is that what you want? Did you get what you wanted?
Come on, you can't take him with us. Let's go!
Bodie gets up and follows Nixon and Carter towards the door. On the way, he passes John. As he goes by, he swings the Ruger into John's face, knocking him cold. Bodie hurries out after the others. Later, the bank is crawling with cops and men from the coroner's office. Harp marches in and spots a...
Wire washer undercutters! Mit Tears Bots exploding!
Silent Splash. They're not equally appealing. A shrub with flavor feeling and a liquid line tasting center that sent me reeling. Masterpiece of the year.
With a little bit of crispy wafer, creamy hazelnut and smooth chocolate. Bueno is a little bit of what you fancy. Bueno, a little bit of what you fancy.
As the years clock up, skin ages, wrinkles deepen. React.
Wrinkle decrease from L'Oreal Man Expert. Anti-expression wrinkle cream for long-lasting hydration. Wrinkles appear reduced. Expert technology for every man's skin.
He keeps getting better with age.
Men Expert from L'Oreal Paris.
You're worth it too.
Cotton.
Ear.
Brand. Issa. Hill.
Ear.
Girls allowed.
Ear.
Louder.
Ear.
Piper.
Ear, sir.
Lineker.
Ear.
Take off those ridiculous promotional ears.
Sir.
We'll not have such things in my classroom. No more football for you for the rest of term. Do you understand?
Ta-da, Lineker.
Visit walkears.com, get a free pair of ears and raise £1 million for comic relief.
God damn it, who's in charge of this camera crew? It's a crime scene area, for Christ's sake. Get him the fuck out of here.
Go, come on, out.
You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. If you so desire, an attorney will be provided for you free of cost. Now, do you understand these rights I've just given you, Utah? Do you understand? You understand the rights I've just read to Utah?
Hey, he understands his goddamn rights. Jesus Christ, kid, are you okay? Here, stand up. Get these cuffs off.
Leave the cuffs
on. Now, get them off.
Leave them on!
Oh, boy.
Your partner's an accessory to murder. You understand that, Pappas? No, Utah, there are three dead people. One of them's a police officer, huh? Let me show you something, pal.
The dead cop.
How does that sit in your stomach, huh?
Take your hands off me right now.
Carp.
Listen, look at me. Look at me. Don't send him in with a black and white like some punk. Let me write him in.
Yeah, sure, Angelo. Why not? I mean, that's why I put you two screw-ups together to begin with. You deserve each other, don't you? I mean, you're just as bad as he is. Only you're a little fatter, you're a little slower, and a little more pathetic. For Christ's sake, it's like the blind leading the blind with you.
Harp, I want to tell you something. I was in this bureau when you were still popping zits on your funny face and jacking off to the lingerie section of the Sears catalog.
Is that right, Pappas?
Yes, that's right, Harp. And there's one thing that I learned out of all these years that you still haven't got.
Yeah? Why don't you astonish me, shitface?
Pappas lays Harp out.
Respect for my elders.
God!
Plain and simple. Come on, kid. Let's go.
Holy. Get out of here.
Pappas hustles John out of the bank and into his car. As they drive along down the road, John turns to Pappas.
I know where they're going.
I figured you did.
Pappas unlocks the handcuffs.
Santa Monica Airport, fast. But we got one minor problem.
What?
We can't arrest them. Or shoot them.
What?
At the airport, Pappas' car speeds along the runway apron. A taxiing aircraft heads up the runway in the opposite direction. Pappas pulls the car to an abrupt halt and Pappas gets out. He runs across the apron. Bodie and Nathaniel are by a plane preparing parachutes and other equipment.
Did you set the altimeter?
1,000.
What?
1,000!
Nathaniel gets in the plane.
Check the rigging, okay?
Bodie passes a packed parachute up to Nathaniel, then puts some tools away in a toolbox. Nathaniel sees Pappas' car come round the corner with John at the wheel. Nathaniel gets a gun. John gets out. He holds his hands up, then lifts his shirt to show he's not carrying a weapon. Nathaniel pumps a shotgun.
But you're not alone. Good guess!
Nathaniel looks around the apron.
There's a gun on you right now!
Bodie laughs. Pappas peers out from behind cover.
Where's Roach? Around somewhere?
John walks towards Bodie.
So listen, Johnny, we are in kind of a hurry. What do you need? You gotta tell me where she is. Oh, I let my policy expire. Good idea.
Look, Bodie, man, people are dead. The ride is over.
Oh, no. I say when it's over.
The guy you killed was an off-duty cop. They'll nail you wherever you land. There's a new thing called radar. Maybe you've heard of it. What is your
Get in there!
The pilot.
Get back in the cockpit!
Yeah. Roach comes out of an office and spots Pappas hiding behind a vehicle. Roach draws a gun.
I know you, man! When they fall on you, you won't back down! They'll have to burn your ass to the ground!
Huh? Shit happens.
Look, you got a death wish. You want to ride to glory? Fine, but don't take Tyler with you! I'm begging you! Tell me where she is, and I walk away.
You walk away?
I walk away!
That is beautiful, Johnny.
Roach just wings Pappas, who spins round and shoots Roach in the stomach. John grabs Bodhi. Nathaniel advances on Pappas, shooting. Pappas shoots Nathaniel in the chest, then turns his gun on Bodhi.
Angelo! Don't fire! Don't kill him! No!
Get out of the way, kid!
God damn it!
As Pappas walks towards John, Roach picks up his gun and shoots him in the back. Pappas falls forward, dropping his gun. John runs across the tarmac to Pappas, while Bodhi runs over to Nathaniel. John rolls Pappas over. Pappas looks up at him for a moment. A death rattle escapes from Pappas' throat and he falls back dead. Anguished, John stares down at him. Bodhi picks up Nathaniel's gun and helps Roach to his feet.
Just hang on. It'll be all right.
He helps Roach back across the tarmac towards the plane. When they get to the plane, the pilot jumps down onto the tarmac.
I'm not flying you guys, San Felipe, man.
The fucking plane. Start those engines!
Oh, good. Tell him where we're going.
Bodhi runs back over to John.
Let's go, man. We are gonna ride this all the way, Johnny. You and me, so let's go.
John doesn't move.
Get the fuck up! Tyler's waiting!
He ushers John away at gunpoint.
Start the engines now!
He shoves John towards the plane. John climbs into the aircraft. Bodhi looks regretfully back at Nathaniel's body, then starts throwing equipment into the plane. Two police cars drive towards them along the apron. Bodhi scrambles into the plane. The plane wheels away onto the runway. Bodhi sits in the doorway armed with Nathaniel's shotgun. The plane speeds down the runway and takes off through a heat shimmer. As it clears the runway, it retracts its undercarriage. Later, the plane flies low over scrubby, rocky countryside, making its way up a dramatic gorge. In the plane, Bodhi stands by the open door and talks into a walkie-talkie.
Rosie, this is Air Force One. Do you read me? Over.
Look, man, we've been over Mexico for the last half hour. Can I quit mowing the lawn here? I'm getting more bushes in the wheels than I usually like.
Shut your mouth and take it to 4,000 feet on this heading, all right?
All right. I don't think that's such a good idea, man. We'll pop up on their screens.
Doesn't matter. We're almost there. Just gotta get you to a safe jump altitude. Hey, let's get your rig on.
Bodhi carries a parachute over to the badly bleeding Roach.
Hey man, I'm cold. Really cold.
All right, it's your jacket. Easy.
Oh, fuck. Oh. I know. Easy. One arm at a time. Oh man, no.
Bodhi helps Roach into his jacket.
Johnny, throw me that money bag. Now!
John sullenly gets up and picks the money bag up.
You're cold because all the blood is running out of your body, Roach. You're going to be dead soon. I hope it was worth it.
Don't listen to him. He's just scared. You just keep thinking about all the senoritas and margaritas.
I'll be nursing you back to health.
Okay?
What the fuck are you looking at?
Roach glares at John. Bodhi helps Roach on with his parachute.
There you go.
Once Roach's chute is on, Bodhi puts his own on. He picks the walkie-talkie up and goes over to the open door.
Rosie, this is Air Force One. Do you copy? Over.
Copy. We have a visual on you.
Tell him to release Tyler.
Bodhi looks over at John and smiles.
Do it now. You won. You got what you wanted. What if your chute fails? cancel the order! She served her purpose! Do it, man! You owe me that much!
Bodie throws the walkie-talkie down and goes over to Roach. Frustrated, John turns away. Roach is slowly going grey.
Okay, you ready? On three, one, two, three! Ah! Easy, easy. Little more. Clear. Yeah. Okay.
Bodie hooks a money bag over Roach's shoulder and brushes some hair out of his face.
See you on the ground, all right?
I see you in hell, Johnny!
Roach bails out.
I know it's hard for you, Johnny. I know you want me so bad it's like acid in your mouth. But not this time.
Bodie puts his goggles on and tosses his Ruger Blackhawk down.
Adios, amigo!
He jumps backwards out of the plane. John watches as he plummets earthwards, then punches the side of the cabin in frustration. He picks up Bodie's discarded Ruger. Pistol in hand, John jumps out of the plane. He angles his body downwards in order to create less wind resistance and thus gain speed. He closes the gap on Bodie and Roach below, who fall in the traditional skydiver arms and legs outstretched style. As he gets closer, John slows himself down by lessening his angle of descent and drifts towards Bodie and Roach. Unaware of John's presence, Roach and Bodie continue their free fall. John closes in and grabs hold of Bodie. They tumble through the air.
What? Pull the shit, Bodie!
You're crazy!
Pull the fucking show!
Why don't you pull it?
No games, Bodie! Pull the cord now!
Nah, you pull it! Go ahead, Johnny, pull it! You gotta drop the gun, right? If you use your other hand, what are you gonna hold on with?
Pull it right now! Or I blow your fucking head off and pull it myself!
The only way it's gonna happen, my friend! Do it!
Swear to God I will!
Do it, man! Do it or you're gonna die, Johnny! 6 seconds! You're gonna be me, Waffles! 5! 4!
You fucking crazy!
3!
Pull it! Pull
2,
it!
1!
Shit! Shit!
John throws the gun away and deploys Bodie's drogue chute. It opens out, dragging the main chute out behind it. The chute breaks their fall onto the parched desert ground. Nevertheless, they land heavily and roll down a slope, becoming entangled in the chute. Roach has touched down in a patch of open desert. He lies on his back, apparently dead, his canopy billowing out behind him. Dollar bills flutter in the breeze around him. Still entangled in the chute, John and Bodie tumble down the slope and come to a standstill. They unravel themselves from the canopy.
Jesus Christ, Bodie!
Bodie takes his parachute harness off.
God damn! You are one radical son of a bitch!
Bodie struggles to sit up, then flops backwards onto the ground. John untangles himself from the canopy's ropes and sits up. Bodie gets to his feet and takes his goggles off. An open-top jeep approaches across the desert, kicking up a cloud of dust. Bodie turns to John.
I'm out of here, Johnny.
John struggles to his feet and tries to take a swing at Bodie, but flounders and falls over, clutching at his bad knee. He rolls on the ground in agony.
That knee again, huh? Too bad. Looks like this time you won't be getting your man. This game we both lose.
With a last look at John, Bodie turns and walks towards the approaching jeep. As the vehicle gets closer, it becomes apparent that there are two people riding in it. The jeep comes to a halt and Bodie waves to the driver.
Let it go!
John looks over towards the jeep. The driver, Rosie, releases Tyler, his passenger, and she jumps out of the jeep and runs towards John. She still only has her camisole on. John catches his breath and pulls himself upright as she runs over to him. When she gets to him, they embrace urgently and John smiles happily.
Daddy,
He puts his hand to her mouth.
Some other time.
They embrace again. Over by the Jeep, rifle-toting Rosie gives Bodhi a hug before they jog back to the vehicle.
Come on, we're out of here.
They climb into the Jeep, Bodhi in the driver's seat. He stands up in the car and yells over to John.
Yo, Johnny!
John looks over.
I'll see you in the next life!
Bodhi starts the Jeep up and drives off. Rosie punches the air. John watches them go for a few moments, then hugs Tyler close. Bodhi and Rosie stop the Jeep beside Roach's body and get out.
Can't leave here, we gotta bury him.
They take the money bag from Roach and throw it in the back of the Jeep, then get back in and drive off. John and Tyler remain holding each other tightly in a cloud of dust kicked up by the departing Jeep. Sometime later, John drives an old Land Rover down a road through a torrential downpour. He drives into a washed-out Australian beach resort called Torquay.
Cyclone warning is now current for coastal areas between Torquay and Cape Otway. Experts are saying this is potentially one of the worst storms in Australia's history. Heavy rains will continue into the night, with destructive winds reaching up to 150 kilometres per hour. The centre of the cyclone is now expected to cross the coast between Bells Beach and Fairhaven early tomorrow morning. Residents are advised to prepare for evacuation.
John parks the Land Rover up and gets out. His hair is longer now and he wears blue denim jeans and jacket. With his hands in his pockets, he mooches past a sign saying beach access. Two surfers carrying boards hurry back past him the other way. John walks on down a narrow track until he comes to a wooden bridge over a stream. A group of surfers are walking back the other way and John bumps into one of them.
Anybody been out there?
No one's been out, no one's going out. It's gonna be fucking crazy, man. Death on a stick out there, mate.
John walks on over the bridge and joins a small group of seasoned-looking surfer types who are looking out at the wild ocean smashing against the rocks. John looks down at the beach and sees a lone figure standing looking out to sea. Still with his hands in his pockets, John walks down onto the beach and wanders towards the lone figure who has a surfboard nearby. As he approaches the figure, who's dressed in a wetsuit with a poncho draped around his shoulders, he reaches inside his jacket, takes something out and throws it down in front of the man, who turns out to be Bodhi, now sporting a shorter haircut. The object John threw down was the Reagan mask.
Do something, brah!
Bodhi looks at the mask.
Special Agent Utah! I knew I could count on you.
John walks around him.
I've been to every city in Mexico! Came across an unclaimed piece of meat in Baja. Turned out to be Rosie. Guess you picked a knife fight with somebody better. Found a passport of yours in Sumatra. Missed you by about a week in Fiji. But I knew you wouldn't miss a 50-year storm, Bodhi.
Yeah.
An enormous rip curl crashes down towards the beach.
Too bad. Finally get your waves and it's totally closed out.
Waiting for my set.
John nods, then looks at Bodhi.
You gotta go down. You cross the line and people trusted you and they die.
Yeah, it went bad. It went real bad. Life sure has a sick sense of humor, doesn't it? Still surfing?
Every day.
Bodhi eyes him and nods. John turns and looks out to sea.
Come on, Bodhi. It's time to go. Now you gotta go back with me.
Sorry, my friend.
Bodhi turns and walks away. John grabs him and spins him around. Bodhi throws off his poncho and John rushes him. The two men tumble into the surf and Bodhi throws John over his shoulder, then gets him in a headlock. John elbows Bodhi in the ribs and they both fall backwards into the water. John gets to his feet first and kicks Bodhi in the ribs, then pounds him in the back with his fist.
Oh,
Bodhi drives him off with a couple of blows from his elbow. John lands a couple of good punches, felling Bodhi, but Bodhi gets back to his feet and kicks John in the chest, knocking him back onto the beach. Bodhi jumps on top of John and punches him in the face. He then grabs hold of his jacket and bashes his head back and forth against the sand. A wave rolls in, covering John's face, and Bodhi holds him under until he's still. As Bodhi stands up, he finds that John has handcuffed himself to him. He pulls John up and looks at the cuffs in dismay.
No! No! I told them! You go quietly!
Bodhi looks up and sees an Australian police helicopter hove into view.
You know, there's no way I can handle a cage, man! I don't care! You gotta go down! It's gotta be that way!
Bodhi hangs his head, then turns round to look at the sea. A mighty breaker, like a wall of water, crashes down at the mouth of the bay. The helicopter lands and a squad of armed police scramble out. Bodhi turns to John and laughs.
Okay, man. Okay. I'm screwed. I'm gonna go to jail, and I'll pay, and Johnny Utah gets his guy. Right? Good for you. That's real good. Gonna be a big hero now. But look at it, Johnny.
We'll see.
Look at it! This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, man. Just let me go out there. Let me get one wave before you take me. One wave. I mean, where am I gonna go, man? Cliffs on both sides, I'm not gonna paddle in New Zealand!
He stares at John and shakes his head.
My whole life has been about this moment, Johnny. Come on, compadre.
Bodhi extends his cuffed hand towards John.
Come on.
John glances at the cuffs, then at the police walking down the path towards the beach. The police clear a number of bystanders and a news crew away from the path. Bodhi glares anxiously at John, who looks at him, then out to sea at a gigantic breaker rolling in towards the bay. It breaks in a massive plume of white water. John looks back at Bodhi, smiles and nods. He reaches in his pocket and takes out the handcuffs key. He unlocks Bodhi's cuff. Bodhi rubs his wrist and smiles at John.
Vaya con Dios.
Still smiling, Bodhi runs and gets his board, then dashes into the water with it, the riptide rapidly pulling him out to sea. The police hurry across the beach towards John.
Back in time!
What do you think you're doing?
You let him go!
No, I didn't.
Bodhi paddles his board up over a huge wave and back down the other side. The wave breaks behind him, obscuring him from the view of those on the shore. The police watch as Bodhi paddles his board over the crest of another wave just before it breaks.
We'll get him when he comes back in!
He's not coming back.
John walks off down the beach, putting his handcuffs away in his pocket. Out at sea, Bodhi catches the crest of a massive breaker. The cops look on in awe as he hurtles down amongst the white water. Halfway down, the wave closes down on Bodhi, enveloping him inside it. There's an explosion of white water, and he's gone. John walks back up the beach and takes his federal agent's badge from his pocket. He looks at it for a moment, then tosses it aside into the surf. John walks on and the screen cuts to black. ITFC audio description by Amy DeLarabiti, Mark Leavesley, and John Walskill.